remember, after we'd been married about 4 years, being disappointed in something that Walt had done or something he hadn't done, and realizing that God was to be the one who met all of my needs.
Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today with my daughter Valerie Shepherd. Welcome, Valerie.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We've been talking about many things, primarily marriage and fathers and whatnot. You've been married more than 17 years now. What else have you learned besides the meaning of love? Well, maybe I should ask you, what does it mean to love somebody? We were talking about some of the romantic notions you had before you married Walt, but what did you learn about the meaning of love?
Love means giving yourself, and love means dying to your own wishes and accepting someone else's ideas and wishes. I'm still learning that, of course. I don't feel like I'm an expert at it, but I feel like I understand it much more now than I did when I first married Walt. I think when I first married Walt, I was looking to him to be my security and looking to him to fulfill all of my needs and all my desires and all my wishes and all my ideas. I wanted him to agree with me. And I remember the first few years disagreeing with almost everything he'd say, except for theologically. I do. I remember sitting at dinner tables, either people in our home or at other people's homes, and he'd start to tell something, and I would immediately disagree, contradict him. And after this went on, I'm sure it probably went on for a while before Walt finally asked me to, in private, he asked me to try not to disagree with him so much. It finally came clear to me, I think, after we'd been married 4 or 5 years, that I really needed to try hard to listen to him and agree with him and to keep my own disagreements to myself, especially when we were with other people, because as a pastor and wife, we needed to be models or examples to other couples. And so I think over the years I've been able to get a better and better perspective of how my husband is never going to meet all my needs. I remember after we'd been married about 4 years, standing in the shower one time and being disappointed in something that Walt had done or something he hadn't done, and realizing that God was to be the one who met all of my needs, and only God, and that Walt, because he was just a man, couldn't fulfill everything that I wanted him to fulfill, and he couldn't be my security when I was feeling insecure. I couldn't expect him to make me feel completely secure, so I had to depend on God. And for 17 years, I think I've been learning that more and more, that God has to be my strength. And the more, of course, I depend on the Lord, the more I'm helpful to Walt, rather than expecting Walt to do everything for me that I'd like him to do.
And you said the other day that things get better and better.
Yes, definitely.
And I think that must be the secret. Unfortunately, I'm afraid you inherited a lot of things from your mother that are not to be envied, and one of them certainly is this argumentative spirit. As you may remember, I was a debater in college used to argue with my mother from my earliest days. And now that you mention you're arguing with your husband, I know that that is exactly what I have done. Maybe worse with this third husband. I don't know. I guess my memory is very vague about the first two. I look at them through rose-colored glasses, but it is an almost automatic reaction to contradict.
Yes.
And I think neither you nor I mean it in a nasty way.
Right.
But basically, we think we're right.
Right.
Or we wouldn't do that. And I am
still learning
that lesson.
And even my tone of voice, even though I don't mean to sound nasty or mean, my husband thinks that I'm being nasty if I disagree with him. And
so does mine.
And probably because I grew up hearing my mother have a good reason and a right reason immediately, I thought that I could correct my husband a lot the first few years. And it's just been a real lesson to learn to keep my mouth shut, and especially to enjoy him and listen to him when other people are around our table with us, and to let him take the lead in conversation rather than me leading. It's freeing once I do it, you know. If I try to lead, then he's uncomfortable, and usually the company is uncomfortable too.
Is it unreasonable for a woman to expect her husband to meet all her needs?
Yes, it's unreasonable because he can't. There's no way he can.
A mother came to me one time and she said, "What shall I tell my daughter who's planning to divorce her husband because he doesn't meet all her needs?" And I said, first thing I would ask her is, where did she ever get the idea mm-hmm. that there is a human being on the face of this earth mm-hmm. that could meet all her needs? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've jokingly said, if I had all three of my husbands at the same time,
they couldn't meet all your needs.
They still couldn't meet all of my needs. So it is a very unreasonable expectation. And I'm amused to hear you say that you thought you could correct your husband. We need to disabuse young women of the notice mm-hmm. of the notion that they can ever mm-hmm. change their husbands. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If there's anybody listening to us who's engaged or thinking about getting married to somebody and telling herself, well, it'll be different when we get married. No. He's going to quit
doing
whatever the mm-hmm. thing is that she doesn't like. Then what would you say to her?
I would say start taking that to the Lord and try very, very hard not to change him by your lectures and by your talking, because I have found it doesn't do a bit of good. As I said in one of the earlier broadcasts, I began to pray about 7 years ago that the Lord would increase my love for my husband and that the Lord would help me to bring my desires for my husband to him, to the Lord, rather than bringing them to Walt all the time and saying, why don't you change this? Why don't you do this? And expecting my ideas to really work. And they've done studies of how men listen and how women listen, and the statistics show that men just don't listen to women. Even though they may look like they're listening, they're not going to change them any. Mm-hmm. There's so much pride that's in them. It's the husband's responsibility to take care of the family, to go out and do the job, to make the money, to take care of the family. And so therefore, the wife's ideas are not going to change him much, because he thinks he's already doing all that he's supposed to do as a man. And I know that over the years, when I've tried to talk to my husband about ways that I think he should change, it usually has made him frustrated. Although I must say that in the last couple of years, he has listened to me more and more. And I think it's because I've loved him more and more. I've tried to show him that he's really the most important man in my life. And I'm sure that marriages grow better and better because the husband and wife are listening to each other more and more.
And surely that's exactly what Peter is talking about. We know that the Apostle Peter was married because the Bible mentions his mother-in-law. And he says in the third chapter of his first letter, wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words. Now, I guess I've always assumed that that means they don't believe the word of God. Mm-hmm. But why shouldn't it also mean they don't pay any attention to what you're saying? Even if they don't pay any attention to what you're saying, they may be won over without words
right.
by the behavior of your wives. Mm-hmm. It just came to me that that's a perfect illustration of the way God can work in the life of a husband mm-hmm. when his wife has that gentle and quiet spirit mm-hmm. by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Mm-hmm. And then he speaks in verse 4 of the gentle and quiet spirit. It has always seemed to me, Val, that you have a much more gentle and quiet spirit than I do. Mm. And I'm very thankful for that.
I don't think I do, but
you're telling
thank
us
you.
Now that you've needed to learn
oh, yes.
some lessons yeah. about being gentle and quiet. Mm-hmm. And you said that it's generally believed that men don't listen to their wives. I remember hearing a story about a psychiatrist who, when he was old and perhaps dying, said to his wife, "Well, I've been listening to all these other people all my life. Thank you for listening to me." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Who listened?" Yes, I really am ashamed to say how long it's taking me to learn this. Here I am, 66 years old now and practicing on a third husband. But God does honor the gentle and quiet mm-hmm. spirit and the willingness to really trust God to do that hidden work that only His Spirit can do
right.
in the heart of a man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We not only don't do them any good, but we are actually damaging the marriage when we try to take the reins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been the temptation of wives ever since the Garden of Eden, hasn't it?
Yes, because we think our ideas are right, and we think we should, we can take the lead, especially if our husbands are being quiet. We think, well, we've got to jump in and do it, but it just makes them back up more when we're leading.
It's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Eve took the initiative, and Adam took a back seat.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
said, "Well, if that's what the little lady wants, then that's what we're going to do." And he should have dug in his heels, shouldn't
mm-hmm.
he? But
mm-hmm.
Eve should have kept her mouth shut in the first place. Well, thank you so much. I've been talking with my daughter, Valerie Elliott Shepherd.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.